Yo, what's up? Everyone's out of sorts. You're listening to the Yo, Is This Racist podcast. My name is Andrew T. Do we start with special guest. I'm here with special guest co-host Joey Clift.
That's right. It's me.
Joey Clift. Very, very kindly agreed to step in because Tawny can't make it for reason. I don't actually know how much or little I should say. Probably, let's just say
She got cast in the new Star Wars movie. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe
I'm saying that's a good lie.
I'm saying that as a joke, but like maybe
I was gonna say. Well, I'll route it by her, but I'll just go ahead and say she may have. There may be an international incident. Tawny was involved in an international incident, and we'll have to leave it at that.
Yeah.
We'll definitely find out in a future wrap up what the international incident
or 100% not. But yeah. Either way, we're not going to talk more about it now. That's producer Zig on the mic.
Yeah, that's
fuck it. Get on the mic, Zig.
I'm on this episode.
You're just here.
Yeah.
No one knows what's happening.
Maybe a tease for a future episode or not. I don't know.
Yeah, literally, who knows what's up?
I'm a co-host.
Yeah.
I'm a guest. I don't know.
Joey, thank you so much for helping out, man.
Thanks for having me. This is a great show. I'm excited. I hope that the international incident is okay.
Us too. We'll find out.
Yeah,
we'll bring in
the UN. The UN will really dig in.
Either the hard way or the easy way.
Yeah.
Jesus. But you were going to be here anyway. Well, okay, wait. God, did we say, Yo, Is This Racist, the show? We talk about racism, do a little news. Answer your racism questions. Fuck. Guys.
We're getting through this together, Andrew. Don't worry.
I am bugging out now.
Just for the record, Andrew, he walked into the studio wearing shorts, and he was very concerned about, like, I don't have pants.
Not only did I don't have pants, but I also forgot to bring my laptop.
Just like, you know, podcasts are an audio medium.
Not one thing worked today. Holy God. Anyway, but Joey, you were actually going to be on... We were trying a thing that we hadn't, I don't think we've ever done before, which is like you actually had a news thing that you wanted to talk about. And we're like, fuck it. Why wait to have Joey on as a guest to talk about this thing? Well, so I have him on a guest at a later point.
Yeah.
But why not just come in? So you were going to come in for this news wrap segment anyway. And now you've been unexpectedly promoted.
You've been upgraded.
Thanks for coming in, man.
For me, it's like I showed up at the time I was supposed to show up.
Yeah, I couldn't even do that.
It was 5 minutes late. It was good. Zig and I caught up on our lives. It was great. So the new story, wait, do you want me to just jump into it?
Yeah, fuck it.
So the new story, if you saw this on Twitter, I believe it's pronounced Diore, like fashion company, released like a new fragrance line. I think the fragrance line has actually been around since like 2015, 2016 or something like that. It's kind of the main guy for it. The centerpiece is Johnny Depp, and it's pronounced Sauvage. And the line recently got a lot of flack a couple of days ago for releasing a campaign video directly tying the name Sauvage to like Native American imagery.
Yeah.
So Sauvage is essentially French for savage, which, as we all know, is the word that the U.S. government used to justify the genocide of Native American people.
I will say a little bit. My favorite was the people jumping in your replies when you tweeted about this. Are like, it could also mean like wild. And it's that doesn't help.
But it's like,
I
was thinking about that because it's like, okay, like, you know, maybe there is some weird like cultural disconnect here. But Dior is a like $60 billion company.
It's an international brand.
International, very successful brand. And also like, I mean, the amount of like First Nations people that I know that were like, that were telling me and that were like tweeting about like that, like Sauvage was used as like a slur against them in like, you know, like French Canada and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like people like everybody in the room knew that this was not a cool thing to refer to as native people.
Yeah. You know? I mean, look, I think even allowing these dumbasses who got into your Twitter mentions to talk about that or other places, it's like, does that actually make it better to call native people wild? Because that also was a justification for
I mean, that's
their murder.
Like, also, yeah, well, yeah, I mean, like, ultimately, like, all this is just like, it's the dehumanization of Native American people, which like kind of led to like, you know, making Native people feel like less than. So like, you know, cowboys and shit felt justified in their slaughter.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I mean, anything. And like, you know, there is like talk about a side of this story that people are bringing up is like, oh, Dior, they, you know, they talked to cultural consultants. They, you know, they had like a couple of Native American actors in the shoot. So like, surely they gave it a pass. So it should be fine. Mm-hmm. Right. But like every Native American person in that, they're like, I don't know, there's like a Native actress that's like, you know, like wearing fur and like crouched in the bushes. It's like Johnny yeah. Depp is the only like, you know, I guess I could say
like treated like a human
person that's treated like yeah. not an animal. And also like, you know, like Johnny Depp, to his credit, like around when the Lone Ranger movie came out, the Comanche Nation did like adopt him into their tribe. So it's like there, you know, is an argument to be made that he's Native based on that. But still, it's like maybe a guy that's been Comanche for 8 years isn't the guy to have be the spokesperson for a brand called Savage.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, it's just there's a lot of bullshit. There's like there's 10 feet of bullshit. On this story.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, fuck it. Let's, is there any, I mean, that like came up, it's sort of a pervasive thing in the media. Like, you know, Native people are uniformly associated with, you know, some version of primitiveness or yeah. like, you know, described in adjectives that normally you use to describe animals.
Well, yeah, like, just like that. Noble, stoic.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it is. I mean, it's horrifying. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's just playing into this concept of like my whole thing. Like, I'm like a Native American comedy writer. I work in the entertainment industry. I'm a kind of, yeah. And I guess that I've been very focused lately, and a lot of Native Hollywood is hyper aware of like, putting Native American people on television and in movies in contemporary roles who are treated as people, because mm-hmm. basically the only roles that we're allowed to have are, you know, like feather and leather roles where it's like we look like we're like something from the 1700s out of like a J.R. Tolkien book or something, mm-hmm. you know, things like this, you know, like an ad campaign for a perfume called Savage with like Native people, you know, being kind of the centerpiece of it. That doesn't help. And this stuff also like leads right. to like direct damage among Native people, because there's like pretty much no contemporary Natives in the media. There's like very, very few contemporary Natives in the media. We don't necessarily have like role models that we can look up to. So like Native people, like if you look at, you know, you could look at this and think, oh, that's just a shitty ad, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. but like, because there aren't really any other Native American
right.
People in the media, like Native people tend to graduate high school at like the lowest rate of any ethnicity. They tend to graduate like they tend to enroll in college at the lowest rate of any ethnicity. Like suicide rates among Natives is the highest among any ethnicity. And like all of this, and like you can like look at research about this. There have been studies about this are like directly related to the fact that like there's, you know, we feel like we have no hope because
yeah.
we don't see
there's
ourselves
no other
in
way
successful
to go. Yeah.
positions. So we feel like, oh, this is the only option
right.
for us.
Like, yeah, it's like if you think about it, I think like the percentage thing is an interesting way of framing it. It's like, you know, this ad, frankly, probably represents like a whole number percentage
yeah.
of the any amount of Native representation at all.
Yeah, in like 2019.
Yeah, in 20. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's like the racist Native American sports mascots are like 70% of it.
Yeah.
And then this ad is like probably 10%
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, it's like a number. It's like a real ass number.
Yeah, it's not like 0.00 whatever. It's
yeah.
like, hey, name any other Natives that you've seen on TV this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if that number is like around 25%, which for most Americans, it probably like you watched one episode of Westworld and this
yeah.
and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, and neither were great, I think.
I mean, Westworld, like,
I think we talked about this a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, we talked
last
about this
time
a little
here,
last one.
Yeah.
It's like Westworld, first season, real bad. Second season, I feel like they got a lot of flack on social media and tried to make good. So like,
so this was the second part of the thing we were talking about before we started recording is like what Dior, I don't know what they did after the backlash.
Yeah. So like Dior, they posted this ad campaign where I think that they referred to this as like a wild natural scent to represent all of Native America or something like that.
Okay. You
like,
keep talking. I'll pull up. The
yeah. Yeah. It's like, that's literally like how they promoted it. So there was like no no like hedging bets and no like maybe they didn't mean it that way. Like, no, this is like what their multi-million dollar end campaign was about. And I mean, like what they did about it was they released this video that like, you know, directly tied like Sauvage to Native American people with like Johnny Depp as like the front runner for it. And they got, rightfully so, a lot of flack on social media. And Diore, to their credit, they kind of deleted the videos from social media. They like scrubbed like a lot of kind of the Native American imagery from their site, but they didn't apologize about it. Like, and that's something where like just a lot of my friends are really frustrated about is like, oh, they're just pretending it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, because of that, it's like, nobody's going to learn anything from this.
Yeah.
Does that? Yeah. The part of me is like, we're in a weird time when you kind of imagine like you're absolutely correct. And yet I also feel like, I guess not credit where credit is due situation, but it is like for a multi-million, like at least they didn't not change it or double down on it. So like, you know, is like a C plus like
it's
a good enough or like, no or
well, I guess that the other side of it is like the Washington DC NFL team that like has gone the other way of just like
no, just doubling down.
Natives love this. And they at the very least didn't double down. So it's like
it's like depressing where you're like, fuck, is this, it's not good enough, but it's better than
it's what better.
They could have done.
Yeah, like they've at least shown the slightest bit of remorse.
Yeah, exactly. At least like, oh, it's never happened.
Yeah. But it's like, I mean, something that's a real shame about this is like, you know, they talked to a Native American consultancy firm about this. They hired like Native actors to play the roles of Natives. Mm-hmm. And a few of the Native actors have kind of gone on social media basically just to talk about their experiences with it. And like something that I saw with the actress who like was wearing the fur kind of like crouched in the bushes was basically saying, when I was offered this role, I had to spend several days deciding as to whether I would feel okay with myself by taking it. Mm-hmm. And her response was that she did not feel okay taking it, but she knew that if she said no, they would still do it.
Yeah.
So she felt like if she was at least doing the part, then like she could maybe from set, like steer things in some different directions.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a thing that like, I'm sure like all like people of color on set, like Natives definitely feel this. It's sort of this feeling of like, oh, there isn't a world where Diore wouldn't have done this ad.
Yeah.
Like, it's like when they reach out to Natives, and I'm sure it was probably this case with the consultancy firm, it's like they're more looking for, it's like they're looking for like a stamp. They're looking for permission. They're looking for like one Native to say, this is fine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that when they came up with the name Sauvage, they did not talk to a Native person about that. You know, it is kind of this thing of like, it's like you're always put in an awkward position of, like, well, like, I guess that like if I don't say yes to this, they're going to ask somebody else to do it. You know,
it's going to happen no matter what.
Yeah, it's going to happen no matter what. It feels like an inevitability.
Yeah.
And like to the actress's credit, she needed to take the role so that she can still get health insurance through SAG or whatever. But she like donated the money from it to like some Native charities and stuff like that. So she like tried to do right by it. But it's also like it's shitty.
It's also shitty that she has to be the one, like, the ad agency didn't donate their profits to.
I mean, that's like, that's kind of like what she was talking about on Instagram. It's like, hey, that'd be really cool if Johnny Depp and Diore,
something.
Like, she got paid, like, probably a pretty low day rate for this, because, like, that's what happens with people of color on sets. Johnny Depp probably made $2 million from this.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would be cool if him and Diore, which is a $60 billion company,
to, like, fucking do something.
You know, like, donate some of that money to some Native thing.
Yes. So right. I think that's like one of those where it's like, you're right. On the balance, fuck that.
It's sort of like, okay, so like credit for deleting it, but also fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck. God, that's so like, I mean, I guess continually depressing and well, fuck, man. Well, thanks for coming in with that too. Cause it is like always a thing like, yeah, I do feel like at times, like, I'm glad we got you in to talk about it immediately, because there is sometimes a part of me that's like, okay, cool, we'll, like, gather up the native stuff, wait for someone to come in. And that's not a like, good way. To, like, it's like logistically, like, sometimes that's how we have to do the show.
Nah, I get what you're talking about.
It's not the old, it's not the best way to
where
do
it's
it.
It's just like, oh, you bring me in and you're just like, okay, so all of 2019 native stories.
It's
and
like go. Fucked up. Yeah.
But I also, I get how it goes. I mean, I'm very happy that you brought me in. I mean, I'm horrified to have to talk about
this. Yeah, exactly.
But I am happy
at least
that
somewhere to do
it. But this is like, I mean, this is something that I think about often in the industry is like, because there aren't really a ton of Native American people in entertainment, like when news stories like this happen, like, I don't think there's a single Native American person working on a late night show right now. So it's like late. Yeah. So like, you know, like, is any late night show going to like tackle this story? Is this something that just Native Twitter is going to be mad about? Or is this something that like people outside of Native Twitter are going to be aware of? So like, you know, stuff like putting natives on, you know, like Earwolf podcasts to talk about this stuff is like, you know, like we're painting a very depressing light of all this shit, but it's like, to me, like even just like me being in the seat talking about
it's
this
like
is
something,
progress,
I guess.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, honestly, thanks for coming. Also again, international incident. Thank you for filling in.
Yeah. I hope for the love of God, I hope she's okay. She's now the prime minister of Sweden. That's the international incident.
It's pretty fucked up. It's going to be a long story and a really weird Lifetime movie. let's see. There was other racism news. Two from Michigan. I don't know which one to do from Michigan. I guess one of them was a little older.
I mean, our first one was from France, so this is a pretty this is a pretty international opening news thing.
I believe there actually has been an update to this story and that this candidate dropped out, so we can just do it kind of quickly. But candidate for city county. I think city. What was the actual position? City council candidate, Jean Kramer, racist lady. Jean Kramer said in a candidates forum that she wanted to keep the county Marysville a white community as much as possible.
Wow,
which is
real cool.
Yikes. I guess we could do both of them because the other Michigan story we had was this fucking racist Taiwanese formerly undocumented immigrant. Fuck her. Whitney Williams is running, is a Trump supporter, running as a Republican. I don't know. Michigan. Something's wrong with where I came from, man.
Yeah, wait, are you from Michigan?
Yeah, dude.
I grew up on the Tulalip Indian Reservation, but the town that kind of touches the reservation is called Marysville. It's also called Marysville. It's in Washington, so it's a different Marysville. Yeah. But also, like, if this story happened in Washington, Marysville, I wouldn't be that surprised.
About the same.
Yeah.
God damn.
So
the one thing about this was that I don't think it's on the story from The Root that we're looking at right now, but there actually was a video of this Jean Kramer lady, where it's sort of clear that she's just like a racist old kook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I guess my question or my thought was,
wait, this is the woman that like was like, I want my county to be a white county.
As white as possible. Whereas like, and,
as
you know,
white as possible. So there's wiggle room there. She's not like completely white. She's just like, you know, if it's like 90% white, that's
like
fine.
Like a sort of optimistic genocide.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's like, it's not like a hard line.
Oh my God.
It's like a little, there's like a little wiggle
room. So much wiggle room.
Yeah. So like, you know, I mean, if we're compared to the Dior campaign, it's like, she's like a D+.
Yeah.
Like,
she's not bad. No, I don't, I guess my question a little bit, my thought is like, are we just giving oxygen to these crazy racists?
Right. Well, that's kind of the question
that like just didn't need to happen. Like, did the internet kind of make this happen when like under normal circumstances it would have just like bleh.
That's like, it's kind of the other side of Twitter is it's very fun to dunk on people with extreme opinions, but like by doing that, are we giving them more of a platform than they normally have?
Yeah,
if she was running for city council or whatever in the 80s, would she just be like that crazy lady?
Yeah.
You know,
0% chance. I feel sick. Feel free to hop in.
Yeah. I'm just thinking like, I'm of two minds where that, so I'm from the South. I say it every time that I'm on mic, but like these people are just everywhere. Like these just like,
right.
Veterantly racist people that, they are on the kook spectrum and like they will probably not amass much power outside of maybe some small city council seat.
Right.
But when it comes to the idea of like dunking on them, my thought process is I like, there are so many other, I mean, it's a terrible time to be alive, honestly, but like on the scale of 2013 of 19, like there are so many more horrific things going on race wise. Like outside of like, you know, I don't know if I do a dunk, I'll do like a little jump away fade a shot, maybe, maybe one tweet, but like the energy that I would see investing in these people, if I don't live in that actual community, I find it a little bit of a waste. Like if I'm not in that actual community, or like I don't have people that are affected by the community, my thing is like, all right, another racist white person. Great. I see a dozen of those people every day.
Right. Yeah. You know, I get what you're talking about. And I think that, you know, like dunk on racists all day.
I'm not saying,
you know, dunks, fadeaways, three pointers, just like all the spots on racists. But
that shit from NBA Jam where you can dunk, but you're started from the half court.
You're on fire. When you get like, get three pointers, just nothing but net, and then get on fire, then dunk on this lady.
Yeah, hard to do it.
Yeah, from downtown, boom shakalaka on all those racists. I think that it is that thing where it's like, are we, so like, we don't live in Michigan. We're not in this woman's county. Yeah. So it's like when we dunk on her, it's like, you know, like it is more effective if you dunk on her in a town hall meeting, you know, like in person, that way, like the community can see that she's dumb.
Or does it like, I guess I'm of two minds, because part of me is like, it's good for the people of this community to be embarrassed by this, because they should be embarrassed by it. I don't know. I just am like, but yeah, there's probably an argument of like, none of this needed to happen, probably. Like, it would have probably sorted itself out, like, to the extent that she just is an old person who is like, you know, didn't expect this and like, doesn't. I don't know. I don't know why
what Twitter is.
It sounds like I'm sticking up for her, which is not what I mean to do. But
look, she said as white as possible.
Yeah, there's some leeway.
There's some leeway. Yeah. But no, I mean, I get what you're talking about, where it's sort of a, it's like, you know, like racist old white lady is going to racist old white lady a little bit, you know, not that it's right. But it's just like,
I don't know.
It is just like, oh, is this some kook, you know?
Yeah. Is it right? And are we making it worse even by talking about it right now? All right. So then also
we are the solution. Not the problem.
This is content, baby.
Yeah, fucking content, baby. Racist fucking Taiwanese immigrant Whitney Williams.
This is Andrew's personal favorite part of the podcast.
The worst Asian people fucking around. This one is like crazy because this woman is like demographically, like functionally me. you know what I mean? Like,
are you saying she makes some really good points?
Yeah, like I'm basically her. Yeah, right. But she's just a fucking asshole. She's going to Congress as a pro-life conservative who supports border security. She was an undocumented immigrant at 16 years old. Fuck that type of Asian person specifically. Because she's fine. I'm just going to go on a limb. And not that it's not okay to do this, but if her name, she's a Taiwanese immigrant named Whitney Williams. She married some fucking conservative white dude.
Oh, no.
And like has bought into that like model minority bullshit. Just fuck her. I don't know if I have that much more to say about it. All right,
so she's objectively a bad person.
Yeah.
We can say that.
Yeah.
If we were to take a devil's advocacy point, would it be not that I'm saying this, but
yeah,
like,
Zig, oh bring my it, God, Zig. No. Damn, Zig,
I'm painting myself into a terrible corner.
Look, I'm from the South.
No, but this reminds me of like, so I had some like great aunts and uncles that were, they were black, but they looked white and they passed for white, and they used that to be like, all right, I'm going to get me a good job at the like the white factory, or like
the white factory,
like making their textiles, or like I'm going to use this like inter-white spaces and survive. I'm wondering, like, is this like some weird fucked up like survival tactic?
Oh, yes.
Like, she's like, all right, I'm in this place. Like, I need to like align myself with whiteness as much as possible.
Oh, sure.
Even to the detriment of myself or the people around me.
I think specifically, though, with like this type of Asian person, it isn't to the detriment of herself. Like, she's just like got hers.
Well, yeah, it's like, fuck you, got mine.
Yeah. 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 And it's just like, she's the absolute, but like to have it be so specific, like she's anti-immigrant now that she's a citizen.
She
wasn't very recently. She's like, 37 years old. She came here at the age of 10. So she's been a citizen for 27 years.
Oh, yeah.
She's been.
I think she was like an illegal.
She's 26.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so 11 years. Like, it's fucking revolting.
Right. Yeah. What is just like, have you, I mean, you know, like we throw this around a lot, but it's like, have you no empathy?
Yeah.
Like what
yeah.
The, for like, even just like your own, like what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like how hypocritical.
I truly don't think anyone should be deported except for her.
What a, that's the Twilight Zone episode I would like to
yeah,
see.
Yeah, I would like to see that.
Yeah, she truly deserves it. Fuck you.
Yeah, that lady just sucks. Just, she would probably be insufferable to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you. Also, I'm sure my relatives fucking love her. Anyway, let's see. So we got to, Tawny and I got to sit down with Sasheer Zameda a little bit earlier. So, yeah, here's that interview now. Sasheer, how you been?
I've been good. I'm really good. Chilling so much right now. I'm so free right now. It's kind of crazy.
Ooh, I like that. I don't think we've ever had anyone say that they are so free.
I'm so free, which is so fun, but a little anxiety inducing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Because
yes.
I'm used to being like, where the jabs?
Yeah.
But I also had to remind myself I have been working and that's okay that I'm like
yeah.
not currently. I yeah. was in Atlanta for 2 months shooting a Comedy Central show called Robbie.
Oh, yeah.
And with Rory Scovel, which is so great. Nice. And will hopefully come out early next year. And then I have a movie coming out in September that we shot a while ago called The Weeknd, which is great.
Dope.
Yeah. So, like, there's obviously, like, evidence of work happening.
Yes, yes, yes. There's documented, yes. even filmed evidence of work that yeah. you've done.
They can't take that away. I mean, they can't take it away from you.
Yeah.
They can take anything away from anyone.
But then I'll just wake up and be like, well, the only thing on the docket is yoga and groceries and...
Chilling?
Just chilling, I guess.
Just considered chilling? Yeah. I identify with this so hard because you know you work.
Yeah.
Girl, you work. I mean, I see enough of you around that I'm like, no one's worried that Sasheer is working, but you have this fear that you're just like, I'm not doing enough.
Truly.
Oh, and yeah. it's going to get me.
Yes.
Like the idleness is going to kill us is what we think is going to happen.
But it won't.
No, it won't.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people in this town very content to be idle, and I want to get like them.
I don't understand it. I'm like, I gotta think of a new thing.
Yeah, no. I'm
immediately.
Like, I gotta do 20 more things. And then I'm mad because I've overextended myself and I'm displacing my anger onto other people.
Yeah.
But like, how do people stay like chilling so hard? Andrew, how do some people just not?
I mean, I kind of do it.
You did before you had a job. You could like chill kind of hard.
I chill.
You worked
too
hard as
hard.
Well.
Yeah. I think my problem is I still have that like, I got a hustle thing, even though I have a job. So I'm just like, fuck, I'm so tired at all times.
Yeah.
I said yes to a bunch of shit this weekend that I'm glad I did, but I am so sleepy.
I cannot believe you. I mean, given the
like parties and stuff, like hanging out.
No, like,
work.
Like, yeah. Well, I don't even know.
Yeah, work.
Is stand up work? No.
It is work.
That is tricky. Because it is work, but it feels, to me, it feels good and it feels easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, it's just stand up.
Yeah.
It's not.
I will say, actually, the actual physically hardest part was the amount of chilling I was expected to do. Because I was just like, I have to stay up and hang out with people and be like pleasant. I'm too sleepy.
Okay, well, this is another favorite topic of mine.
How
is
sleepy
that,
Andrew is.
Yeah, well, no, that's our listeners are very well versed in that. But I want to talk about how social activities in this town are work and they're not fun.
Oh, yeah.
They can be fun, but they're not, that's not their main purpose. They are work. You are there because you
no,
like...
No, I want it on record. Anyone I've ever hung out with in this town, I was not having fun.
I was putting in hours.
I was getting something from you, and I thank you for it.
Because even when you go with the sole intent to just have fun, the types of conversations that you're often having, or like just the rigmarole of like getting dressed and going to the thing, it's a job.
Yeah.
So... I know I sound like a whiny fucking Hollywood coastal elite.
Oh, you are.
Being like these red carpet events, getting my hair and makeup done. It's so much work.
Dude, we kind of fucked the format up a little bit because, Sasheer, you were so naturally talking about what you've been up to. We didn't formally introduce that you're here.
Oh, yeah. Tell who I am.
Oh, yeah.
Tell the people.
You know her. You love her. You know her from the shows that she just mentioned that have not come out yet.
I
know.
I was going to ask that. We've kind of fun because normally we at least have a thing.
No, this is good.
To lean on.
Well, she also has the Best Friends podcast here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the most important
with Nicole Byer, which our listeners have heard a piece of and loved.
Yes.
So there we go with that.
Yeah.
You know her from SNL. Mm-hmm. You know her from UCB Shenanigans.
All those famous UCB shenanigans.
You know her from her stand-up special.
Mm-hmm. Pizza Mind.
Mm-hmm. I almost said Pizza Time.
Oh.
No.
I mean, not a bad name.
You got a second special?
But it's someone else's.
Pizza Mind. Working on a second special now.
Cool.
Don't know. Can't even give you a time frame right now, but working on it.
Love that.
Yeah.
It's the Shears of Maya.
Yeah.
Here she is.
Here I am.
I know. I was like, how did we do a whole feed drop? And I mean, we had Nicole on a while ago, but I was like, we actually haven't had Sashir on, and that is our bad. Because
well, I was supposed to do it
because you're clearly not busy.
I mean, I'm free as hell right now.
Boom.
But I think there was a time where I was busy and was not able to do it.
Oh, okay, good to know. So we did try to get you, and you were too busy.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So then that should make you feel good. Like you're clearly working. There's people after you that cannot get you.
I'm wanted.
Yes, you're wanted. You're needed
and busy.
You're eluding our grasp. Everybody's doing a great job.
Yeah. I'm just glad because when you brought it up the first time, I was like, did we just fuck up and never ask her? Is that possible? And I was like, it's very possible.
I thought we did.
Very disorganized.
Fucked up and never asked her. Yeah, because the way we ask guests is just like at midnight, one of us will text, oh, you know who'd be good?
That is sort of
not scientific.
Shockingly true. Holy shit. Well, thank you for being here,
yes,
most importantly
to
us.
Me.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's see. Now we're out of, because this is the part where normally we would say, what have you been up to?
Well, we did that, but now I want to ask about Best Friends.
Yes.
So, on the Best Friends pod, y'all talk to actual existing best friends.
Yes, we do. People leave a voicemail or they email us for asking for advice on friendship, which was really interesting. We like had that as a loose idea, but we didn't realize the range of questions people could ask about friendship. And it's really awesome. Like,
yeah,
I guess we thought it would be like, you know, how do I tell my friend to like stop hurting my feelings? Or like, just like, I don't know, something basic, but they're like some really deep, like, you know, some things that deal with death or some things that deal with, you know, my lover and my friend or like this person left my life and now they're coming back. What do I do?
Wow.
But I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's fun to do.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah. It is like this thing where you're like, once you open up, it's wild how wild the world is.
Yeah.
You let people ask you shit and they're like, well.
I also like that immediately people have decided that you are experts because it's like, it's kind of amazing to be like, you have a podcast where you're expecting kind of lighter questions and people are like, please tell me how to deal with the death of my best friend.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
There's some stuff where it's like, oh, you should ask a professional.
Yeah.
And I think we try to do a good job of being like, you know, we're going to answer to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
Which just means normal ass people giving opinions.
Yeah.
We're not experts. We are not. But like, I think we try to do a good job. I think we do a good job. We've been friends and gone through a lot over the last 10 years. So we have some idea. But sometimes we are like, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like we are like that a lot.
Yeah.
Well, because like you said, you guys are normal humans who are best friends who are just like smart, regular people. So like you can answer most things fine. But like sometimes people do ask us shit that I'm like, you should go to a doctor.
Ask a goddamn sociologist. Like who the fuck do you think we are? Holy fuck.
Also, like, don't really listen to me because I don't want to get your ass in trouble.
Yeah.
Andrew will get you fired every day.
I told someone to punch someone else. Or routinely.
Some people need to be punched.
Yeah.
Some people.
We're constantly saying, quit your job.
Tell your grandma to fuck off.
Andrew does say that a lot. I'm just like, don't have kids ever. Like, this is not sustainable.
What
advice.
If someone actually like followed our advice?
Oh,
they'd
boy.
Be so dead. They'd be so dead and alone. If just with only podcasts to listen to. That's why. We
now,
make our own fans.
If they were white, they'd be fine.
That's true. They'd be thriving.
Yeah.
Holy
any
shit.
Would be in jail. Anyway.
Well, speaking of white people doing incredibly misguided things, do you want to hear this first voicemail?
I do.
Hi, I'm Jamie. Thank you, Andrew, Tani, and Jeff. I think it is racist of my husband to do these impersonations or comedic jokes that involve impersonating another race / culture. For example,
"Damn, baby, I'm gonna butter your bread." Or, "Kevin, I do not believe it is safe for you to be calling me names right now."
He's white, obviously. Thank you. Is it racist?
Zig's face. Zig's face is what we all felt inside.
I'm trying to think through the number of hoops these people had to, they put production value into their little racist prank.
Yeah, these motherfuckers booted up GarageBand.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I'm mad. At first, I was on board for this woman tattling on her husband.
Yes. Quick question for the actual professionals in the room, you guys.
We're the professionals?
Yeah, okay. You're going to be the professionals.
Yeah, let me put on my glasses and top hat.
How unfunny is this?
Oh, man.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's very unfunny.
He's brought it out as if it was like a party trick. When is he doing these impressions? This comes up in conversation a lot. Does she think she was like, it sounded like the thing he always does.
Yeah.
Please. And when would you do that?
Truly, when?
These are hack. Old is not funny.
This is you grilling your keto dinner party or whatever for your CrossFit friends. Is this when you're doing this shit?
Maybe.
Okay, so first of all, your husband's not funny. Sir, you're not funny.
It's think about this. Could be, this is like we got transported briefly to a dinner party in 1952.
Yeah.
And it was tired then.
Yeah.
This is 60 years old, and you're just like, this is the best you can fucking do. You had to showcase this on
and
the radio.
She's like, this is bad, so I'm gonna call it in. But then you let him do it.
Yeah. Do you think she really thought it was
just
bad?
Listed he does.
No, I don't think she thought it. Yeah.
Black person. Was that a black person accident? What did you say? Yeah. Butter your biscuits?
Yeah. I don't know.
Who was that?
It was a cartoon bear or something. What he thinks a black person sounds like. It was really just a fun bear that plays jazz.
It's just the writing is bad. The performance is bad.
And now I don't like this woman.
Yeah.
You enabled this shit. I thought she was tattling. I'm here for a tattling on your spouse.
Yeah.
For my husband fucked up and I'm calling a very public show to out his ass. I'm here for that. But the fact that you patched him in and you fucking edited together your little MP3.
What do you think about this kind of you type of white lady?
Get a divorce.
Yeah. Just good ass advice. Truly though.
Fucking leave each other.
Let me say this. If you don't leave him, you are racist also.
Yeah.
You're complicit in this shit.
Well, also, it's if she actually thought it was bad, she could just tell him, I think that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm embarrassed to be around you in public. Don't do these things around our friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead, she's she is enabling him. She's allowing him to keep doing it in public spaces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I truly, these people who are maybe I'm just too militant these days, but all these you can't be they're our family. We love them, but we love them even though they're racist people. I'm just fuck you. Yeah.
No, because if you love each other, they can take it.
Yeah.
If he's so invested in his racism that he can't hear that, he doesn't actually love you.
I dare you at your dumb little fucking CrossFit studio. I've decided this is these people's life. Your fucking little CrossFit studio. Find the one black guy there and go, honey, do your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And let your fucking husband get in some trouble.
Yeah.
I dare him to do it in front of any people of color because I know y'all don't have any friends.
I'm upset that they called it an impression. Who did you hear doing that? There's no way you met a person in real life and repeated what they said. That's not an impression. God.
Yeah. It is. What it is an impression of a fucking racist joke book.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that's the best you got. People.
I'm going to butter your bread.
I went down a rabbit hole of Billy Crystal videos. I guess because I watch When Harry Met Sally for the first time.
Oh, really?
Ever.
Congrats. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's a very good movie. And then I was like, man, Billy's awesome. So I just started looking at videos. And he used to do tons of impressions when he, I feel so dumb being like, did you know?
Yeah.
Young Billy Crystal. But yeah, he did tons of impressions like on late night shows and stuff. And he had a really good Muhammad Ali. Mm. And he would do it like in, like for award shows and stuff like that. And everyone was like, yeah, that's a good impression. Mm-hmm. But he didn't like, I mean.
He probably did.
I'm going to say he didn't like paint his face or anything, but he did later do that for other impressions. And that sucks. Yeah. But for the Muhammad Ali one, he at least looked like himself and said things that Muhammad has literally said.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's an impression. And that's great. And you can do it if you're good at that impression. But if you're just doing a stereotype or a general black person voice, that's not an impression.
Or if he was making what was funny about Muhammad Ali something tied to his race or how he perceived he speaks.
No, it felt very honorable and like respectful. And that's why he got away with it. And that's why people allowed him to do it so much, because he was just really good at it.
And then he was like, you know, the first rule of heightening, gotta paint that face.
It is wild how
he's like,
many.
Gotta take this further.
If I got away with that, ooh boy.
Do you guys, I mean, I guess on the 6 degrees of separation train because of SNL, you guaranteed Sajira have worked with people who have done blackface.
Yeah.
Like there's a 0% chance.
Well, there was an era, I mean, before you joined
Very
the cast
common.
Where there was just like no one.
Rampant.
There was just a light brown face happening whenever there needed to be like a Nicki Minaj or you know, the What's Up With That Girls or whatever, where it was like, is this blackface? Do we care? It was over so fast. Yeah. Do we have time to parse it?
I mean, yeah. People forget the blackface era was not that long. I think the one that hit me the hardest is it Trading Places, where for there's it, and it doesn't make narrative sense. It just means Ackroyd showed up and was like, no, what you don't understand is I am gonna do blackface today.
He's like, Crystal did it, got big laughs.
It's so fucking wild. Holy shit. Anyway, fuck you, lady. Definitely fuck your husband. Right?
Yeah, yes. I think she thought this was going to go a different way, but honey, y'all clearly don't have any brown friends, and we clearly are the closest thing to that, so this was fucked.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, okay, maybe they did this just to harass us, because people will occasionally call in, less occasionally than I'd like, and just like scream slurs and shit into the voicemail box.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, whatever, you're just racist. But this was like production value and like they worked on it.
Yeah.
How good, what was, normally I don't ask for follow-ups and I'm not really asking for a follow-up. I do kind of want to know what they thought their best case scenario was.
Yeah, what was the
this.
Goal?
Yeah.
What do you think you get out of this?
I do kind of like that they spent some like unpaid hours working on this bullshit.
Yeah.
And we hated it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck you. All right. Here's the next voicemail.
Hey, Tawny, Andrew, and guests. My name's Sally. I am very white and grew up with almost entirely white friends who, you know, are still a part of the picture, although more distantly. So I don't get to see them all that often. But when I do, they know my heavily liberal leanings, but will occasionally say snarky things or racist things, veiled, sometimes not so veiled. And, you know, I would just appreciate if you guys could suggest some very distinct ways of, I don't know, responding to you're just being politically correct, or why does it matter? Like, or, you know, that like whole fucking all lives matter bullshit, things like that. Because the time with them is rare and I don't want to ruin things, but I would like to fucking shut them down in a very succinct manner. Like this voicemail, sort of. Okay, thanks guys. Bye.
Is she in the woods? Like crickets all over the place. Just taking a stroll down a creek.
Oh my
She's
God.
She's like, they're all in the house right now. Yes. We're on a getaway weekend in New Buffalo and I just had to get away.
Oh my God.
Lady, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you gotta get new friends.
Yeah.
It sounds like she's tried to bring it up.
Yeah, and they don't like that.
No, it sounds like they're like, you're just a PC libtard. Like, okay, well then fuck you.
Yeah, go find some good friends.
Yeah.
Some genuine good people.
Does it, like, I find it so hard to talk to white people like this when they say stuff like, I don't want to ruin it with these people. It's like, why? Why are you so invested in these people?
Also, they're ruining it.
Yeah.
Yes.
They brought up the racist shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you really want to be friends with people who are like that?
Oof.
Especially even if it wasn't this, if it was something else that bothered you.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you guys doing
and they kept doing it, what would you keep hanging out with that person? You right. would, you probably wouldn't.
Yeah,
so why is this different? If you, right. if you're saying this makes me feel uncomfortable, you are ruining the vibe of the party or whatever, stop. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
yeah.
No, I think it's funny. Then I would not hang out with these people anymore.
It is. Okay, now we're kind of like crossing over into what you're an expert on, friendship, and you're a sociologist. You're an archaeologist of friendship. But I've been taking stock a lot lately about like people's behaviors that I don't need to deal with that aren't even like racist or politically incorrect. Like,
yeah.
just like annoying ass behaviors that stress me out.
Yeah.
And been like, I don't really need that person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They were nice. They served a time in my life. I don't need to have like a falling out with them. But like when I see them, they cause me more stress than not. So maybe I don't need to see them.
Yeah. I yeah. love that. I'm all about knowing your boundaries and your limits. And if something is making you feel bad, mm-hmm. you got to cut it out or decrease it.
Yeah.
And you can always move people in your life. You can have friends who used to be your best friend and now they're like a brunch friend
mm-hmm.
or they're your nighttime friend or whatever. You know, you don't have to be like, we are this close anymore if things have changed.
Yeah.
Or if you have changed and realize you don't like that behavior anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that also might be what's happening. Maybe... Not to say that you used to be a bigot, but maybe you were okay with shit that you're not okay with anymore.
Yeah.
yeah.
And your friends did not evolve.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that a lot of white people especially seem to think is that there is like, because I think this lady thought there is like a mic drop magic bullet kind of thing for yeah. the situation. And it's like the magic bullet is don't have racist friends.
Yeah.
So if you don't, if you... there's nothing more than that. Like, everyone thinks, not everyone, but a lot of people who call in do think, and part of it is because we play up like we got funny solutions to shit. But yeah. it's like, guess what? You can't really actually solve this shit. And so just fucking drop them.
Because it sounds like the thing she said, if these people were of the kind to like change or amend their behavior, you probably said all the things
yeah.
you could have said.
Yeah. Yeah,
and sometimes people learn by actions. If mm-hmm. if you're not hanging out with them and they're like, oh, maybe she's not hanging out with us because we fucking suck.
Yeah.
and every time we talk about racist stuff, she gets uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they will. Maybe they can amend themselves and change yeah. a little bit. Maybe they can't. But, you know,
I'm going to say they probably can. Let's be real.
I knew a woman. I did not know her well, but I had friends who knew her well, who in the scope of a year, I want to say that year was like 2016 to 2017. Some wild shit was going on. Lost pretty much all her people of color friends. Like they all just kind of, there was not a meeting, but people just pulled away.
Yeah.
And she fucking noticed. And yeah. she went, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes you do just have to see like all the like people retreat from you before mm-hmm. you realize
And the opposite of that, which is like this like sentiment of like, oh, I don't want to ruin this friendship, supports them. It makes them think it's okay.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm. yeah.
it is worse than doing nothing.
Yeah.
No, doing nothing is not just doing nothing. That's what I meant to say.
So what we're saying is, girl, you are in the woods. The woods are these people. And you got to find a trail and get out.
Run,
get to a city.
I guess, yeah. Water tends to flow downhill. So if that is helpful.
Yeah. Perseus is in the north right now. So if you're, you know, trying to navigate at night, look for Perseus.
All right. Good fucking luck. here's the next voicemail.
Hello, Andrew, Tawny, and guests. I'm calling to ask you guys about an interesting situation I found myself in last week. So I use an online application called Discord to talk with people I frequently play video games with. And in one of the groups I'm a part of, they have a channel to talk about more NSFW subject matter. One day a group of us were discussing kinks, and one of the girls mentioned that she enjoys extreme race play to a point where she loves when her partners call her the N-word hard R in bed. She and I are the only black people in the server. I was immediately taken aback by that statement, but everyone else either laughed it off or continued to discuss it like it was a casual thing. She then went on to say that she wants one of her partners to dress up in a KKK outfit for her. And though I thought she was trolling at first,
Zig's
it turns
dead.
Out she's dead serious on all of this. And to add a little more context, she said that she tends to not get along with black people and prefers the company of Asian and white people. Have any of y'all ever had to deal with somebody with this kind of fetish, whether it was like a friend or a partner? And if you did, how did you navigate that conversation? Because honestly, I'm not entirely certain of the angles or approaches that. I look forward to hearing what you all have to say about this.
I feel like I kind of forgot how fucked up this guy. I should have spoiler warning or trigger warning or whatever. This is a fucked up voice.
No, look, Zig and I have no excuse. You send shit to us ahead of time. Sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. I feel like tonight's recording has murdered Zig several times.
Anyway, that was fucked up.
Okay, so like, okay, I'm just going to say the thing that we all have to say, which is like this like race play and sex thing. You don't want to kink shame anyone. But that said, I don't understand it. It's a weird line where, like, I don't know. Kink shaming is bad. We don't want to do that to people. But also, like, this weird racial element makes it especially strange to me. That's what I'll say.
I feel like there's a part, and this might be, well, first of all, I'm bummed that she had to include Asian people in her group of friends. I'm not trying to be involved in any of this.
She's like, they love calling me the N-word, hard R.
My black friends can't do it. Yeah. When I'm around Asian people, they're down for it.
That is fucking depressingly true.
Oh, God.
No, is this an extreme version of, like, not the fucking conversation to have on a chat with a bunch of white video game people?
Yeah, that's what I couldn't really understand what it was. So
okay,
so
it's this program, I think it's called Discord. I'm looking at Zig. Yeah, Discord. It's basically like a big old chat room, but for video games. Okay, great. I looked it up. but yeah, it's that kind of like gamer culture, like 97% white dudes or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's not the actual stat, but it's the vibe. It's definitely the vibe.
And then this is a sub forum in that where they talk about sex shit.
I know. It sounded like this was just their buds.
He said it was like not safe for work content.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little more, it just sounds like it's more welcoming of, you this know, kind of shit. Kinky yeah. talk and stuff like that.
Well, if it's all online, is he 100% certain this is a black woman?
Ooh, there it is right there.
Like, yeah. Could that just be someone trolling and be like some guy who thinks it's funny to say that?
That's a great point.
Yes. What is, I guess for the sake of discussion, let's imagine the real version of this. Because okay. I think you're probably right, but maybe not. I don't know. Maybe these
There's
people
so
know
many
each other. Yeah.
Twitter bots where someone's like, as a black woman, yeah. I think it's so fucking crazy that you guys don't like Trump. And then you look at that person's profile. Yeah. The whole thing was created yesterday. These are all pictures that you can find from Google Images searches.
Right,
like,
yeah,
they're
right.
not, like, it's someone
right.
fake the whole thing.
It's all stock images of a black woman on, like, a landline phone. Oh, God.
I'll believe that this person is real.
Is that crazy? Yeah. Then,
no, but
now
I see
that
what
I'm
you're saying.
It, like, I'm like,
I think Sisha is probably right, but I also know that people
this
like this
kind of
exist.
Shit exists,
yes. Black
right?
people who yeah. like to be called the N-word in bed. I've heard this before. I feel like someone called in with something like this before, maybe.
It's just there's no way they have it. for sure.
There's no way they have it. But what really got me also was the fucking, like, I also don't really like hanging around with black people.
Yeah,
it's
that
like,
sucks.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so this isn't just a kink. This isn't just like
this is a deeper
an extreme thing.
Yeah.
thing you want in bed. This is a...
So I guess, oh. yeah, that this was just such a wild voicemail. I was like, I have to share this with everyone, but...
Thank you.
It's gross and unpleasant. whatever, it's unpleasant. I guess it's sort of like that, like, where the line is between calling someone a sellout, like, what's allowable... I mean, I hit it a lot because there's so many Asian people who are just like the absolute fucking worst. So I'm like, it's easy. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's a little easier for me because it's like it's such a high percentage of like Asian, East Asian people, especially who like do this shit that I'm like, yeah, you're fucking racist. You're trash. You're white supremacist. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's fewer black people. So I don't know. Is it like you just got to let people be them, or like, you know, it is a Big Ten and you can be whoever you want and it doesn't make you less black? I mean, unless you're not really black.
Well, the kink combined with the fact that she doesn't like hanging out with black people makes me think it's a self-hate thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and not to be like, and that's why I'm just saying combined, because if it was just the kink, it could just be the kink. Like some people might want that, but are proud to be black and love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that makes me feel like, and you know, maybe this person who called, if they want to investigate further, they could ask like, what's up? Did something happen, you know, when you were a kid, or did you grow up in a household that really made you feel bad for being black or whatever? Yeah. But also, I'm also like, this is an internet person. They're not real.
So yeah.
You don't have to engage if you don't want to. But if they feel like digging further.
Yeah. Like it is a thing where he could, by digging further, maybe, I don't know, maybe reach this person. I also think it's valid to say like, hey, I'm the only other black person in this chat. And like, your comments are being laughed off by the white people, but like, it makes me feel bad to hear that you don't want to hang out with other black people. Yeah. And then combined with your kink, it makes me feel like you hate me a little bit. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I think that's fair if you want to dig in with this person.
I guess that was the other side of my question is like, how often, because I feel like it a lot, but maybe I'm just a lunatic, but like, how often do you feel like you need to, like, when you're in such a white space that you need to like stick up or like speak up on something like this? Because a part is like, just log out. It's a bunch of fucking, who even knows if the original person's real? Like, just get the fuck out of there. There's no need for this.
Well, and I do want to honor, I know we talk a lot of shit about gamer culture, but I do want to honor the people who feel like some of, you know, online friendships are more real to them than in real life friendships. So I don't know that that's this guy's scenario. But if that was the case and he was like, well, this is, these are friends, or this is where I go to and this is like my support system or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. There's a weird thing of like, there's all these white people. We have to stick together. Like the black people have to have a united front.
Or when you're with a minority and then, you know, someone says something, it's not even united front. It's like, oh, well, I have to correct this, or I feel responsible because it's
have to call it out.
Under a normal situation, I would just bounce.
But I have done stuff like that.
Yeah.
With like other performers where they are doing something that feels like they're, I don't want to say selling out, but like just
cooning a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like getting the laugh for the wrong reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've pulled people aside and been like, hey, and you know, there's no nice way to say it, but just like, do you really think this is appropriate to do in front of a fully white audience?
Yeah.
Or we're the only ones on this lineup and everyone else is white and they're laughing at us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if it actually hit. I don't know. They were like, okay, thanks for your opinion, but like not in a way that was like, oh my God, I didn't know. They were like, I know what I'm doing.
They're like, I know it's hitting great.
Yeah. I came here for laughs.
Yeah.
You know, maybe what, I don't know. Hopefully it helped one day.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
maybe if enough people like you have pulled them aside, they start to think about it.
Yeah.
Have you ever done the thing where you're performing with them and you kind of like call them out in scene or in character?
No.
That's always
thankfully,
mind
I never
tricky.
Had to.
Yeah, that is good. I haven't had to often, but I have had to just do something sneaky and kind of veiled to be like, motherfucker, I see you and you better stop.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it gets through, but like, I feel better at least like not letting it slide.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's like the sort of the third hand of all of this is like, even if you do say something, are you really just doing it for yourself? Because who knows what kind of fucking difference you can make within this sort of situation.
Yeah.
This got awfully heavy. I'm sorry.
No.
I mean, it kind of is for myself because I would have felt bad.
Yeah, if you hadn't said anything.
The show and being like, well, that was really weird and that sucked. And then I just talk shit about that person later to my friends and not, you know, instead of saying something to their face. I love being open and being honest and telling people to their face what the issue is.
Right.
I also love talking shit too, but
you know. Hey, if you do one, I think you earn more points to do the other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Holy shit. Back to the caller, I guess.
I mean, it's a common refrain of like, get new friends, find a new group. That's easy for us to say when we have all of these friends around.
But you know, when it's an online thing, it is like, yo, if this woman is going to be like this and let's just, you know, fucking benefit of the doubt, like it's all real. I don't think you need that. And I don't think you need to be in a room. See, they're putting you in a bad position by making you either have to do the uncomfortable thing and say something, or like say nothing and be sort of complicit in their shit. Because
she also knows he's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's aware that there's a black man in this chat as well.
Yeah.
And she don't give a shit.
Yeah.
No.
So like, so assuming all this is real, it's like, that person's not your friend. Maybe that's it. They're just, that's clearly the theme of this episode. They're not really your
friend. They ain't your friend.
Or your husband friend. In the first
place. That man is not your husband.
Your husband is not your friend or your husband. Those crickets are your friend.
Stay in the woods, ma'am.
Love the crickets.
I just want to briefly touch on the thing that she said about not hanging out with black people, because I think it's an important thing that sometimes those of us who maybe weren't always like super embraced by like the blackest of black folk, especially like when you're a kid and growing up and stuff, some people can get the feeling that then that means they shouldn't or don't get to have a lot of black friends, or they don't identify with black friends, because they, speaking for myself, I grew up doing a lot of white shit, so sometimes I just didn't relate to the black kids that were immediately around me. Mm-hmm. But that just means you got to find different black people, because there's lots of black people that do different weird shit. So I just wanted to say that for the record, because like this woman maybe doesn't identify with like the black people in her immediate vicinity, but she has the internet.
Yeah.
So she could find the ones that like the shit she likes.
And even if it happens to just be a bunch of bots, they're your friends now.
Yeah.
That's the thing that the internet taught us, is there's a lot of different types of all kinds of people.
There's so many bots. Did you ever experience that? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I also did a ton of white shit when I was younger, and definitely got rejected from groups of people who happened to be black, but also I got rejected from a lot of different groups.
Sure.
So, you know, I was kind of like, whatever. But I also love black people and I love being black. So, yeah, I just found other black people that I liked that also liked me.
Yeah.
But I can see how if someone did feel alienated by their group, that they would maybe feel scared or timid try to find other friends. But if you do that, you're just like generalizing like everyone else who's doing that to our race.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, well, they don't like me.
Yeah.
They're all the same. They're bad. They hate me. And it's like, all of them?
Everyone?
There's a lot of us.
Chances
are there's somebody like you who would enjoy what you got to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can't make a blanket statement like that, like, and just write it off like, I just don't enjoy hanging out with any of them. How many people you have? How many? Give me the number. How many people have you actually tried to hang out with? Six? They were bad? Try some other ones.
Yeah,
you know?
Try six more.
Try six
then
more.
Then come talk to me.
Yeah.
But once you hit 12, you have done your research.
Yeah. It's a baker's dozen, I'll say. A baker's dozen. You gotta try that 13th one in case that other egg drops. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe the caller could be like, I could be that 13th black person that you might like.
Yes. But caller, also don't feel like you have to, especially because
you have to save her.
The more that we talk about it, you're clearly arguing with a robot. So
yeah, actually, this is not a real person. You've been fooled by a Getty stock image.
Oh my God. So Shira Zameda, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Long overdue. Thanks for coming. I think you said everything that, but just in case, what should people look out for from you?
Best Friends Podcast. I have a movie called The Weeknd coming out on online platforms and some theater somewhere. I don't know.
Everybody watches shit at home anymore.
You'll watch it on something soon. And all my Instagram and Twitter stuff is at The Sheer Truth, T-H-E Sheer Truth. Sashir.com for all my tour dates.
Oh, cool. Are you touring a bunch coming up?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I like that. Don't work. You've done enough.
I'm still chilling.
Just check out the website just in case.
Just peruse it. I have a couple things there, but it ain't a full tour.
Won't you guys feel so special if you check it out and you're like, oh, she's coming to my little town?
You'll be one of the lucky few.
Uh-huh. Get those tickets to select group.
just the general concept of get those tickets. Nothing specific.
Who never cares?
Get those tickets.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And still cracked out. We're back.
Beautiful transition.
Thank you. Joey.
I just want to say, I was in the room for the entire Sashir Zamata interview.
Oh,
I
my God.
I was being very quiet.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for zipping it the fuck up.
Yeah. Just, there wasn't a microphone for me, and I was like, I just want to listen to this just conversation.
Keep it chill.
Yeah.
Joey, thank you so much for being here, man. Truly, thanks for stepping in.
Yeah, of course.
And co-hosting. Tell people where they can see more of you.
First off, I just want to say, yeah, like, thanks for having me on the show. This is super fun. I was like being back on this show. So you can find me on Twitter at Joey Tainment. Let's see, a couple things I got to promote. If you haven't listened to it, I've got a super fun Earwolf Presents show called Wow, You're Native American Too, where I interview Lucas Brown Eyes, super funny Native American comedy writer. We just talk Native stuff for like an hour. It's great. And then upcoming on Tuesday, October 15th at 8:30 p.m. at UCB Sunset, I'm doing a show called The Ghost of Christopher Columbus Theater Sponging Spectacular. It's the second annual showcase of Native American talent at the UCB Theater. It's the day after Columbus Day. The premise is that, like, every year the ghost of Christopher Columbus rises from his grave to terrorize natives. And the only thing that can scare him away is like jokes from Native American comedians. So the day after Columbus Day / Indigenous Peoples Day, we got to just make sure he goes back to hell, guys. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, definitely check that show out. The ticket link, I don't believe, is up yet, but follow me on Twitter and you'll get the info.
Check, you'll see it on, we'll make sure to retweet it as well. Yeah. But don't fucking look at us. Go to Joey Tainment.
God, I feel so lame about that. It's like a Twitter handle that I thought was cool in college.
And nope.
Then, like, as a grown up, I'm like,
oh. Stick with it.
Yeah.
You can commit to it, Joey.
Could never stop.
Joey, it's like entertainment, but me.
Are there still copies of your zine floating around? I feel like last time people were like both really nice and like went to some lengths to track it down.
Oh, yeah. I got to say, like, I have a zine called The American Ready to Wear Catalog 2018 that I promoted the last time I was on the show. And you guys showed up for it. It sold out like 5 pressings.
Oh, shit.
And so it's 2019 now, almost 2020. So I was like, I'm not sure if I want to like make more copies of this thing with 2018 in the title.
Yeah.
But if you send me a tweet on Twitter, I'll send you a link to a free digital copy download of it. It's basically like a satire book about like all the weird ways that Native American people are represented in the media. It was illustrated by my mom.
I was going to say, it looks great. It looks fantastic.
And after every pressing of it, I sent my mom a residual check for artwork and she was delighted. And you guys made that happen. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. This is a regular episode. So this is where Tawny, let's see. Oh, yes. We are going to be in Seattle this Friday. Still tickets available at somewhere.
Wait. Let me step in, Andrew.
Thank fucking God.
All right, folks. So if you want to come see Yo, Is This Racist Live, boy, do I have some great news for you. You can check us out this Friday, the 6th, in Seattle at the Fremont Abbey Art Center. How can you find those tickets? Well, boy, do I have the place for you to go. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, my God. Tawny, please come back from Sweden or wherever the hell we said you were the prime minister.
While I was explaining that, I'm from Washington State. I'm going to promote some Washington stuff.
Oh, yeah, please.
So let's see. If you drive 45 minutes north of Seattle, you can visit the town of Marysville on the Tulalip Indian Reservation, which is near where I grew up. So I'm promoting my hometown.
Nice.
Or if you drive a couple hours south of Seattle, you can visit the Ilani Casino. That's my tribe's casino, the Cowlitz Tribe's Casino. It's 20 minutes north of Portland in southern Washington. And like, yeah, I don't know, just give my tribe money, okay?
Oh my God.
That's the perfect thing to do. And then when you get
my friend is a musician and was on tour and just won $1,000 there.
Oh, great. Tell him to give that money back.
Well, so he took it from, I think, a bunch of white people. So,
oh, good. Like, I get a cut of that if you
do. Yeah.
Once you finish gambling, the perfect way to celebrate that is drive right back up to Seattle the 6th. And if you didn't get tickets, just go to tinyurl.com/yoseattle to find tickets. And where are we at on the 7th, Andrew?
Well, we will be at Revolution Hall, Rev Hall in Portland for XOXO Fest. The tickets to that are sold out somehow. I don't know how XOXO Fest works.
Yeah, I mean, I guess people just were really in demand for USS Racist Live and really they stormed the site.
Yeah, and if you And if, like, after the Dionysus Races in Portland, you're thinking about gambling a little bit, just drive 20 minutes north to the Alani Casino.
Yes.
Owned by the Cowlitz tribe. I technically, I think, own part of that.
Tell him Joey sent you.
Yeah, tell him Joey Cliff sent you. They might know who I am. Maybe.
Give it a shot. Yeah. It can't hurt. And then that Sunday, September 8th in San Francisco, we'll be at the Independent. Tickets for that are available at tinyurl.com/yosanfran.
I don't know. I can't promote anything in San Fran. I don't know anything in San Fran.
Producer Zig wouldn't let me make the link. Yo, San Fran Frisco. San Fan Fisco is what I asked
for.
Yeah,
that's what you pitched, but I wanted to keep a theme between every city. Next time that we're back, when we're back in 2020, we can do that.
San Fan Fisco.
San Fan Fisco?
Yeah.
I guess I kind of get it.
You get it. We all get it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I like that you're taking a swing.
Nothing works. Oh my god. Okay.
Andrew, where can they find you on social media?
God damn it, Zig, I fucking hate you. Yo Is This Racist on Instagram, Twitter, and I'm Andrew T. Follow Joey Tainment, I think. He's just better.
Oh, thanks.
And
yeah, I'm fine.
If you want to, again, not clear what of the international incident Tani will be posting or any, you may have just heard a bunch of bleeps. but
she's in the new Star Wars movie.
Newman on all social media platforms. 323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE to leave a voicemail. Woo! Damn, we're fucked up. Peace.